It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Philippians as we continue to study through this precious book, and I hope that you're not getting tired of the book of Philippians. I love it. I love studying and preparing the lessons, and I hope that you have able to sit down and to search the Word with me. If you're not, do I please listen very carefully so that you may enjoy it and find the truth of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 12 through verse 15 today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. And we're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's a great day. I'm glad that you're with us, so please enjoy the study of the precious Word. We're not going to delay any longer. We're going to enjoy the Word, and so please follow along as we read today now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of His Word today. Father, please that You would guide and lead us. I enjoy Your Word. I love Your Word. And I ask, Father, that we listen so carefully to it, that it just not be something that we enjoy, but it's something we do, something we carry out, and that is Your will. Now, please, Father, as we study these words, this precious Word, Your Word, the Holy Word, I ask that You will touch the hearts of every listener that we have, every one of them. I ask, first of all, Father, that they be saved by grace in the Lord Jesus. There's no other way, Lord, to be saved but coming to You and trusting in You and coming by faith and faith alone, not any works attached and not any works connected to keeping it, Father. Please show the folks today as they listen that they find that You and You alone are salvation, is their salvation. And Father, please direct them to the cross of Calvary today, that they be saved and they begin that walk, and that walk be a sweet, precious walk. Father, I do thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for this opportunity to share it. Now I ask that Your power and Your strength and Your convicting power go forward. Hearts will be changed and touched today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent last week, we've kind of closed with this term that Paul said to the church of Philippi, the directions he was sending to the church of Philippi, but this one thing I do, and that's where we quit last week as we were talking about the confidence that Paul had and his singleness of mind, the mind of Christ. And I do not believe, realize how much that we have a split mind. And the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 8 that I read last week, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if we get our eyes away from the Lord Jesus, from His precious Word, and we begin to follow after what seems to be right, but we do not confirm it in the Word of God, nor are we following the Word of God, you are becoming unstable. And so it's very important that we look unto the Word of God and stand upon that precious Word, as Paul focused completely and alone upon Jesus and upon His Word. You know, there is, if you follow Jesus, you have to follow His Word. And so please that you look into that. Now we're going to back up just a minute, and I know I shouldn't do this, but we're going to. We're going to back up just a minute. And we're going to look at this verse 12 a few minutes once again. There's just so much here, and I get enjoying the Word, and when I go back to study for the next time we'll be together, why then I find other things that I just love, and I love to share them with you. And so as we go back now to the 12th verse just a minute, and then we'll find ourselves back up into the 13th, 14th, and 15th verse. But right now at the 12th verse, it says, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus apprehends us first. We know according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that we love Him because He first loved us. And we need to understand that. That the love that God the Father showed to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, that love was shown, that call was given, that all would come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And that call, there is nothing that I can do. If this book, the Word of God, was just an ordinary book, and I would read the stories in this ordinary book and confirm much of it by history of other books and say, well, it must have happened, and so you look at it maybe then as a history book. You'll find that it does have a perfect set of morals to live by, and so then if those are there, why then okay, we'll follow it by the rules and the morals that's in this word, in this book, and so now we have two things. We have something that was historical, and so that's great. We can learn of history from it, and also then we can look at the Word of God and say that yes, it also has a very clear set of morals and standards of living, and so that would be good to follow, so okay, we can follow that. And if that's all you're finding from the Word of God, then you're missing completely the Word of God. Those things are in it, yes. But what you're to find from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is Jesus. We're to see Jesus clearly in the verses of this book, verse after verse after verse. And if you're missing Jesus, and you're just looking at it as a good guideline to live by, or a book of history, then you're missing everything. You're missing that this book is alive, and it will speak to you if you will come to the Word of God and search that Word, particularly if you go to the book in John and you'd begin to read and you would let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Because you see, God has done the work first. And God has called you. God has made all those steps before. And when that call comes, all the work is completed. And the only thing we can do is come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Now, when I say to be saved, our sins must be forgiven. You are a sinner, you're lost, you're condemned in your sin, and you're going to die in your sin. And there's only one answer for that, and that is Jesus. And it's Him alone, Jesus coming by faith. And when we look back at the 13th verse, and He says, But this one thing I do, Paul has a singleness of mind. Paul has his eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And he said, there is one thing, and then it continues to speak of his past and of his future. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But right now we need to look to see that first of all, you are apprehended by the Lord Jesus. He has done all the preparation work to save your wicked soul. And He's done that on the cross of Calvary by the precious, sweet Jesus that died on that cross, that was living in this world and at His end days was abused, spit upon, beaten, and then taken to the cross, nailed to that cross. And upon that cross He died. His precious blood was shed. He was laid in a grave, a borrowed grave. And He laid there, He was there for 3 days and three nights. But then when that stone was rolled away, and not by man to peek in to see, but God rolled that stone away by the use of an angel to roll that stone away so that man could see inside that Jesus is gone. He's alive. He's risen from the grave. Oh, the victory that we can have because of the death of Jesus, because of His precious blood, and because of the resurrection. The joy we can have in Jesus, that free gift of salvation, saved from our sin. Our sins are taken away. I'm made new in Jesus. John chapter 3 says, you must be born again. I've been born again. Please come to Jesus today because He's called you first. But once that call comes, this is what Paul's talking about here, not as if I have done something first that made me eligible to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, to live after Christ. Not as if I have done something beforehand, because I haven't. He called me, I heard the call, I received and accept that free gift of salvation, and now I am set my course for Jesus. Not as though I have already attained it. No. Yes, he has salvation in Jesus. But to attain the fullness of Christ, we have all of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, but they still live in the old flesh. And there's only going to be one day, and that day is the day we meet Jesus face to face, that it's going to be completely finished. And so you see, we have a work to do, not to save our souls. We are saved by the grace of God and grace alone, by no works, not by baptism, not by church membership, not by association of anybody, but because Jesus died on the cross to save your wicked soul, and you come to him by faith, and you turn to him, and you got to turn to go to him, because you're going the opposite direction. You're hell-bound. And so unless you turn unto Jesus and come by faith to him and faith alone, you are going to find yourself the day you die, which could be today. You're going to find yourself in a place of torment. And then at the last judgment, you're going to find yourself cast into the lake of fire. And there you will be forever and ever and ever. The gnashing of teeth, the never-quenching fire, the constant torment. You liked sin here? Well, you're going to have sin there, because you see, you never took care of it. Well, you can today. It's not too late. Come to Jesus and be saved. And then begin the walk, not the work to get your salvation or to gain eternal life in Jesus, because that's a gift he has given you. But the walk and the work that's connected with it is a walk and a work that you want to do because of Jesus' love towards you. Now we are returning that love because he first loved us that we may love him. Now we're loving him in return and walking after him and serving him and rescuing others by and through the power of God by giving them the gospel, telling them that Jesus died for them. Come to Jesus and be saved. Oh, that you would busy yourself today of furthering the gospel. And we know that this work is set before us. And it's a joy that is set before us, the work of Christ. Come to Jesus and be saved. That's settled. That's done. Now begin a walk that'll be a joyful, exciting walk. A walk that will begin today that you meet Jesus, if it be today. It's a walk that starts there and will never end. It'll go all the way through eternity. Oh, the joy to walk after Jesus. I follow after, he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He is taking care of that work first. I'm following. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, as we look into the things that are ahead of us, now to press on, to follow after, to pursue with vigor, to go with great stride in the service and the work of Christ. This isn't something that we do in our pastime. This isn't something that we do if we just have time. Yes, I will serve God. Yes, I will be at church. Yes, I will serve on this area of service that I can serve in the church, all the way from. There's many mysteries. There's much work to do. All of it should be built around giving out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But the church is something that it seems today is served if you have time. It's not something that comes first. And when we look here and find that Paul says, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, there's many things here. To remember the past sins. Now, the problem today is many folks dwell on their past sin, which we're to learn from our mistakes. And we're to grow from our mistakes. And if we can take the mistakes, remember our past sins, but then place them and cover them over with the mercy of God, because He has saved us, He has forgiven us, He has taken those sins away, and we need to do the same. A runner that is running a race never looks back. You give it all, but when you start looking back, you slow down. To look back hinders you as a runner of a race. And you should always be looking forward, looking to that finish line, looking to finish the race as quickly as you can, it with all the strength that you have to win the race. But you're looking to that finish line. You're not looking back to the starting line. You're not looking from side to side to see how far. You've got your eyes on the finish line because you want to win. Now, we have a lot of problems today. And you go back into the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and it talks about laying aside, at the very beginning of the chapter there, that we have laid aside every weight that so easily beset us. Every weight and every sin, the Scripture says, that so easily beset us. And we need to be so careful that today when we serve the Lord Jesus, when we're walking after the Lord Jesus, that we're not letting our past life. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got a new heart. You're born again. But God does not force us. We are not puppets. He does not force us to serve Him. He gives us a continual choice, a choosing of how to live. I have known people that confessed to know Jesus Christ, that their life changed very little. Maybe they added to come to church, but that's about it. Their desires to have material gain, their desires of being satisfied with things that they buy and sell, have continued in their life. And maybe they're very moral people. Maybe there wasn't some filthy, dirty sin the way the world would look at it that would be a problem there. But the serious problem is that they have not left their past behind. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Have you forgotten how filthy and dirty you were as a sinner? When you met Jesus, do you remember the joy that came over your heart the day you met Him? And as things begin to change and God begins to work in your life and move out the filth and move in His presence, yes, you got all the Holy Spirit the day you were saved, but He does not control you again as a puppet. We have choices to make. He gives us every opportunity to walk away from this filthy life, walk away from covetous and prideful, desiring the things of this world more than the things of God. Now, if you do that, you'll never be satisfied, you'll never be happy, and you'll never be of service and power to God. Never. Because you have continually desired the things of old. Your old life you have held on to. The things of the world you have held on to. And your life has really not changed for Jesus. Paul says, I have forgotten those things. I have put those things behind me, and I am not looking back. Now, can you do that? I'm not telling you we need to get our eyes upon Jesus. I'm not telling you to... Our past, we're supposed to learn from that. Our mistakes, our foolish mistakes, we're supposed to learn from that. And so we said, okay, now everything in our past is gone. I'm forgetting all those things. And the Scripture says here, forgetting those things which are behind. But we're talking about many things here. We're talking about that yes, we need to not dwell on our old sin, but do not forget what the mercy, and that's the reason I ask you to take the presence of God, the power of God, the forgiveness of God, and remember back just long enough to remember what you're old, what you used to be. And then remember that great mercy of God. The mercy of God that has forgiven you and set you free from the bondage of sin. Now, if you can place that there, remember that, because that's an exciting time of realizing what great mercy God has for you, what great care God has for you, what great love God has for you. And now, because of that, let's look forward, stop looking back, stop putting things that of this world that we used to put as important, get those out of the road, and set our eyes upon Jesus, to walk forward, to walk after the Lord Jesus, to be in constant repentance and a thanksgiving, a thankful heart, to always realizing how wicked without Jesus we are and how thankful we be. We need to be careful not to look back, that we become prideful of past victories, past accomplishments. I have accomplished this. Look at great things that I have done. Please, don't let your heart be prideful of past accomplishments, but set your eyes on future victories. Set your eyes upon Jesus and what He can do in your life. Turn your eyes away from things that were so important to you. Please turn away from them. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching. Let's look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm turning to it, so you sure have time to turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul tells us here, as Paul tells us in Philippians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that ye which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Verse 23, back up one verse, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain." We don't need pew warmers. We don't need babies. We need people to come in, see that they're sinners, hear the gospel, hear the sweet message of that death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that He saved you, if you'll just come by faith and turn, and then begin that race. Run, the Scripture tells us, to run. Paul here back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, run the race." Get your eyes on the finish line. Get your eyes upon Jesus. Get your eyes upon heaven, because that's what's important. Laying things up there, not building things down here. Haven't you learned yet that the things down here break down, fall apart, rust away, blow away, wash away? Haven't you learned yet? You going to build another big house, bigger than the one you live in, but the one you live in's enough? Are you going to buy that bigger car, that fancier car, that bigger truck, that fancier truck, because that's what you want, and yet what you have is fine? You haven't turned your eyes away. How much money have you laid back for your retirement? Have you got enough? Oh, you better work a few extra hours, even though I'm going to miss church, but I better work those extra hours to lay that up. You're laying up treasures that can be stolen, rust away, bags with holes in. Please, my friend, turn to Jesus and realize what's important. Let's go on back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only for me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? Because he's coming again. Just because he's tarried now some 2,000 years doesn't mean today won't be the day. So you better prepare your heart and you better be ready to meet Jesus. Said, I don't believe that. I don't believe he's coming. I don't even believe in him. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe in him or not, because he's still coming. And when he comes to rapture the church away, you'll miss that one. You'll have to go into the tribulation. But there'll be a time, my friend, which you will meet him. But he's not going to be your Savior. He's not going to save you from anything, because you, by faith, did not come to Jesus. And Jesus alone. Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. Paul's got his eyes. He's got his ears turned to see Jesus and to listen to Jesus. And you know, Paul didn't get deceived. He didn't get tricked by all the new age. And he didn't get tricked by all the new philosophy. And he didn't get tricked by all this nonsense, as maybe you have gotten tricked. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. And you say, Larry, you don't even know me. Well, if you've got your eyes away from Jesus, that's the reason that you have crossed that line. You are no longer pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, according to verse 14. You are no longer. Paul remembers. Paul knows, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Paul knows the power and the victory that has taken place in his life and in every other person's life that comes by faith in Jesus. Oh, to walk after the Lord Jesus, to look unto the Lord Jesus, those things which I have done, reaching forward. You know, for the high calling of God, I press towards the mark for the prize, the high calling of God. There's no greater calling. None in the world than to be called by God to be a Christian. And today maybe you're called. You've heard the word. Your heart's convicted. You don't understand it. You don't know the feeling. You don't know what's going on. But you've recognized for the first time that I'm lost and I'm dying and I'm going to hell. Well, I ask today that you trust in Jesus. Because he's calling you. He's calling you. It's a very, very high calling. It's a calling that should not be looked at lightly. It's a calling that could end at any time. I ask today that you listen to that calling and you come to Jesus and you meet him at the cross of Calvary. The prize is heaven, eternity with Jesus, and the rewards and the power and the sweet walk begins today, the day you meet Jesus, the day you accept the call of God. That call comes by the way of the cross of Calvary. Now please come to Jesus today. Don't connect it with anything else, any works, but by faith come to Jesus and be saved today. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?